Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. If you go back 3.5 years ago, Kellen and I did an episode. It was episode 73 on why technology won't save us. It was an episode about carbon capture. And first of all, I just have to say, I cannot believe that that was 3.5 years ago and that by then we were already 73 episodes in. We are approaching, in just a couple of weeks, 5 years since we began the podcast in October of 2020. Time just flies by. It feels like COVID was just yesterday, not 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago now. And to think that, you know, it's been that long since we started the podcast. Kellen, it's been almost a year now since Kellen left the podcast. And for those who have listened through all the episodes, you know, were with us from the beginning, you may be curious how Kellen's doing. He's doing great. I catch up with Kellen probably once a week now. It used to be last year we were seeing each other every day, even after he stopped doing the podcast. And he's just been so busy with work and life. And so I don't see him as often now as I used to. But we are trying to get back into the habit of seeing each other every once in a while. But he's the same Kellen as he always was, and he's doing wonderfully. But he's probably doing even better now that he doesn't focus on Collapse as frequently as he was while we were doing the podcast. Anyway, referring back to the episode on carbon capture, Kellen and I have had always kind of had this difficulty of trying to describe how we want to believe that technology will work. We find technology fascinating. It's so interesting to watch innovations happen and see people trying to solve problems. And while, you know, we don't want to discourage away from the amazing innovations and technologies that are coming and things that are being discovered, we also recognize that there are limits to the advantages of technology and that with Jevons' paradox, most technologies that are increasing efficiency are at the same time increasing overall carbon emissions and in the end are not that efficient, right? Well, carbon capture is no different. Carbon capture is immensely important to the effort to hit net zero or to ultimately reverse climate change and reverse the amount of carbon in the atmosphere. And there's been a lot of hope put into the idea that we can either discover new technologies or increase efficiencies that will allow carbon capture to become this economically viable solution, and that by being able to scale it up, it's going to sort of fix all our problems. And the danger of technology, right, is that for the average person, for the layperson who's trying to be optimistic, is that they can simply say, you know, I don't know everything. I don't know everything that's happening in the world. I know that climate change is an issue, but it's being looked into. And, you know, capitalism means that, you know, it's obviously going to become very important from an economic perspective that we solve this. And so money's going to be put into it and corporations will move to these, you know, to these solutions that are going to save the world. And so I've heard that carbon capture works and I've seen pictures of the carbon capture plant. So like naturally we're going to get to a point where we're fine. And it just kind of turns into this blind, like, okay, like the problem solved. I can ignore it now. We can move on to the next thing, or I can, you know, go distract myself with my circuses or whatever because someone else is taking care of this problem. Well, that episode that Kellen and I did kind of tried to shed some light on the difficulties of carbon capture, many of the gaps that we're going to have to be solved in regards to the just technological obstacles, scaling issues, energy usage, the need for the increase in efficiency and the lack thereof in the current state of things. And on top of that, just the sheer amount of scale that will be required based on the current amount of carbon capture and storage that is currently being provided. It is a absolutely minuscule amount compared to the amount that we are emitting. So for details on the numbers and those types of things, I recommend you go back and listen to episode 73. Maybe this is a good time for a refresher if you haven't listened to that one in a little while. But that said, today's episode is on a study that came out that kind of reinforces what we said in that episode 3.5 years ago. And it is that the amount of available storage space is in actuality much smaller than what was originally estimated. Essentially, we have been overestimating for a long time how much storage we can eventually have with carbon capture. So let's go into that a little bit. This study is in nature.com. It is titled A Prudent Planetary Limit for Geologic Carbon Storage. So this piece isn't about the actual capture method, right? Talk a lot about the direct air capture, DAC, was kind of a main focus of our previous episode on this. There are other forms of capture, but this is more regarding how we actually store it once we've captured it. So I'm going to read the abstract here. Again, this is a scholarly article, so it's a little bit more intellectually worded, which, as you all know, is not my flavor, so I'm going to try and break this down a bit after reading through it. But here's the abstract. Geologically storing carbon is a key strategy for abating emissions from fossil fuels and durably removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. However, the storage potential is not unlimited. Here we establish a prudent planetary limit of around 1,460 gigatons of storage through a risk-based, spatially explicit analysis of carbon storage in sedimentary basins. We show that only stringent near-term gross emissions reductions can lower the risk of breaching this limit before the year 2200. Fully using geologic storage for carbon removal caps the possible global temperature reduction to 0.7 degrees Celsius, including storage estimate and a climate response uncertainty. The countries most robust to our risk assessment are current large-scale extractors of fossil resources. Treating carbon storage as a limited intergenerational resource has deep implications for national mitigation strategies and policy and requires making explicit decisions on priorities for storage usage. Okay, so that didn't probably say much to you based on the lack of context here within the article. But having read through this article, I'm going to pick out some of the main points here. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about how much we are emitting on an annual basis. So in 2024, it was estimated that we globally emitted more than 41 gigatons, so that's 41 billion tons of CO2 into the atmosphere. Currently, as of today, present deployment of carbon capture and storage is small, being around 49 megatons per year of capacity. So that's about 1/1000th of the amount that we emit per year. So that's not saying that we can store 49 megatons per year. That's just the total amount that we can store, and that's 1/1000th of what we actually emit in a year. And then it says there's another 416 megatons either planned or in construction. So 10 times that amount, or 1%, 1% of what we emit in a year is either planned or in construction over the next, you know, however many years or even decades at this point. So essentially we're saying we're going to get to a point where we can store about 1% of our annual emissions in carbon capture. So over the course of 10 years, then that would be, again, 1/10 of 1% that we're able to store based on what we have planned. It is simply not enough. It says almost all facilities are planned to store carbon in sedimentary rock formations. The focus of our analysis, with the largest planned basalt-based storage, so this is an alternative style that they're trying to also come up with, having a capacity of less than 0.036 megatons per year. So, I mean, it's just, they're saying basically it's all just planned for sedimentary rock is like the main bread and butter. There are some other types that are being explored, but it's pretty much negligible. It's not storing anything at all. Interestingly, and this is something Kellen and I have talked about, the majority of operational storage facilities are utilized for enhanced oil recovery, a process that overall results in net positive CO2 emissions. I'm not going to go into detail on this. We've done that already. It may have been in a bonus episode that Kellen and I discussed how the enhanced oil recovery stuff works. And so this may be something that I touch back on in a later episode and kind of discuss how enhanced oil recovery works. But essentially, it is a way for oil companies to say that they are capturing and storing carbon, but in reality, what they're doing is they're able to take more oil in the process. It's a process that they use in which they're able to extract more oil from the ground by doing it, and that does result in a net positive CO2 emission. So on paper, it looks great. In reality, it's just causing even more issues. Now, the technical potential for geological carbon storage is commonly assumed to be vast, with estimates of available storage of around 10,000 to 40,000 gigatons in the scientific literature. So I know we've been talking in megatons and gigatons, so I don't want us to get confused by that. They're saying that typically we're commonly assuming that we can store around 10,000 to 4,000 gigatons. Now that is a massive amount. Like I said, we are producing around 40 gigatons per year, and they're saying it's assumed that we can store up to 40,000 gigatons total. So 1,000 years worth of our current emissions could be stored in the Earth, according to past studies. It says industry estimates are around 14,000. So they're saying the 40,000 is like this very high estimate, but more realistic estimates are around 14,000, of which, and this is funny to me, of which 13,400 gigatons is undiscovered, and just 253 megatons is considered currently economically viable. So of the 14,000, 13,400 is undiscovered, and just 253 megatons, so we're talking another order of magnitude smaller, is even considered currently economically viable. So a very minuscule percent of what they estimate is even possible is considered economically viable. So again, I know this is a lot of wordy stuff, but the gist of it is, of all the stuff that they think is even possible, space in which we can store carbon, a very, very small percent of that is considered currently economically viable. If I've done my math right, it's something like 0.002% of what they think is available that is actually economically viable at this point. So that's 99.998% that is not economically viable. They're saying maybe one day we can figure out how to even find that, you know, a way to make it efficient enough that we could afford to do that in a way that it isn't cost prohibitive. Okay, so all of that said, the whole purpose of this study was to take a look and say, based on, like, this is what has previously been assumed, what is the actual reality of how much potential there is? And they did a bunch of risk assessments. They mapped out all over the Earth where they actually think they could store the carbon geologically, without too much geophysical risk. And that's environmental and human risk. That's risk to destabilizing infrastructure and sedimentary fields and things like that. Policy based on politics and anyway, all that type of stuff. So based off of all of that, they said, hey, you know, we assume around 14,000 gigatons up to this point has kind of been the scientific consensus. But taking this closer look at things, we actually think it's about 10% of that. Not 14,000, but 1,400 gigatons. 70% of that's onshore, about 30% of that is offshore. But even in like the most perfect of situation, we have to cut down our expectations by 90%. And what that translates to is saying we've sort of got this cap of about 0.7 degrees Celsius in mitigation. So the most that we can do by capturing carbon and storing it is reducing the overall temperature by 0.7 degrees Celsius. Now, granted, 0.7 degrees Celsius is a lot, right? Right now, we're at about 1.3 to 1.5, depending on if you're looking at a running average or the current annual amounts. So that would cut it in half, which is incredible. But again, remember that we're talking about that 0.002% that we're actually able to even say is economically viable. So hitting, you know, reaching that 0.7 degrees Celsius at this point is quite an irrational thought and would take likely decades, if not centuries, of improvement to reach that point. And I think we can all agree that even just decades from now, you know, we're going to be well above 2 degrees Celsius. And so reversing 0.7 may be too little, too late, especially considering that we're not likely to be able to remove all 0.7 of that. It will probably be a much, much lower amount. And then later on, they even go so far as to say, okay, we're saying that it's 0.7 is kind of the max, but also it says, assuming the lower end of the assessed likely range of temperature response, it indicates that the prudent potential of geological carbon storage at best can facilitate a temperature reversal from peak warming of about 0.4. So they're like, yeah, 0.7 is sort of like the max that we're saying that we could hit, but in reality, it's probably more like around 0.4 degrees. It says, which is by all means an overestimate of the real-world reversal potential given the anticipated persistence of residual emissions from several industrial and agricultural activities. Okay, look, I'm going to link to this so you can kind of go through and read it yourself. It's kind of lengthy, but I mean, it's a good read, especially if you know, you're good at working your way through scholarly articles. What's the main point I'm trying to get across with this one? The main point is, it is important to try. It is important to find a way to capture carbon. Everything is in, you know, everything counts towards hitting net zero. Every little bit is important. But we have severely overestimated, over-relied on, been overconfident about the ability of carbon capture and storage to get us there, to help fix climate change, to bring us down and keep us at 1.5 or whatever it might be. The obstacles are huge. And the news that's coming out, the research that's being done is saying it is actually, you know, increasingly difficult, and we need to be a little bit more realistic or maybe pessimistic about this option. It's not going to save us. At best, it's going to be a small help, a small correction. But in reality, what we have to do is stop emitting fossil fuels, stop emitting carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. And we're not, right? It is increasing at 1.8% per year. It is a steady march forward of more and more and more carbon dioxide being added to the atmosphere. And this is despite all the pledges. This is despite some areas of the world doing better, starting to reverse, starting to go backwards. But other parts are going forwards too quickly. In the next few days, I'm going to talk a little bit about methane emissions. We're also going to be talking about some other areas in which we've overestimated the ability to sequester or capture carbon. Forestation is a big one of those. We're going to talk about how methane, you know, is a big one where it's not being reversed. We are still increasing the amount of methane in the atmosphere. And then we referred a little bit to pessimism earlier in this episode. We're going to talk about that. There is an interesting article that came out of a professor at Notre Dame talking about how he calls it ethical pessimism and why that's important and maybe the only viable attitude to take right now to the climate crisis. So anyway, we'll talk about all those things this week. It's going to be a fun week. I mean, as fun as it can be to talk about, you know, doom and gloom and climate change. Anyway, thanks for being here. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.